A very good evening or afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Sompo Temple, especially for San Sifo and the community member for allowing us to have this beautiful way place, the Sompo Temple, to have our 9 days retreat, starting from today, 18th of October 2023. Those who need program, collect from here. It's okay, collect from here. Then I'd like to also make use of this opportunity to welcome all Kayamitas that has the affinity to actually make it to this retreat. My nature rejoices. There must be causes and conditions for you to be here, otherwise you cannot be here. And before I continue, those who have not have your meditation cushion, you can go to the room there to choose and select whichever cushion that is suitable for you. Then you can sit anywhere. Then for those who have problem with your leg or what, because of age or anything else, you can actually take a chair, sit on a chair or a stool, or lean against the wall at the bench there at the back, or have a mat, meditation mat. You can also lie down. Posture is not critical or important. You can meditate in whatever posture that is conducive for you. So don't worry about the posture. Sitting is only required when you can do it and when you are young, because traditionally during the Buddha's time, there is hardly any chair or table and all the sort. Even when I was young, we sit on the floor. So sitting on the floor is normal. Then at that time, the ascetic or the meditate by sitting underneath the tree or on the floor. So these are traditions that evolve over time. And because you look at the Buddha image, all of them are like sitting on a lotus or a cushion. When you develop the enlightenment, the lotus will appear, don't worry. Then you no need to worry about having, we call it the mandala, where that is your way place where you can always sit and cultivate. Then apart from that, what we will do is exactly 3 o'clock, we will start the physical puja. There's another 6 minutes to go. So we will have the physical puja by rejoicing. Then after that, we will actually make the offering. And all this offering, you all can also rejoice, is from our common pool, Kayamita Fund. Retreat fund. The retreat common pool fund, which our Kayamita Fund has donated. You all also have donated, and those who actually join the retreat are also part of it. So this offering will be the main puja offerings. After that, somebody on duty, they will continue to maintain the offering. I think after don't know how many days, we need to change the flower and other things, the fruits and all things. So this is what will enhance our wholesomeness, our faith and affinity with the Triple Gem, with this temple, with all the great beings. Then after that, we will have our official puja chanting. After the chanting, then we will commence our retreat proper. Okay, so in order to save time, what I will do is, we have already lighted the candles, yeah, the incense, and the offering items. So what we need you to do is we pay our respect first. Yeah? We chant the salutation, then we pay our respect, then we rise and make the physical offering. Okay. Those who need the program, you can collect over here. Okay. Namo Bunsu Sejiya Muni Po. Namo Bunsu Sejiya Muni Po. Namo Bunsu Sejiya Muni Po. Namo Guan Xin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Xin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Xin Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Po. Namo Ami Tho Po. Namo Ami Tho Po. Namo Mi Lo Po.Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Fo Pusa, Arahang Samasambuddho Bhagawa.Buddham Bhagavantam Abhivademi Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammam Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi.Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, let us compose our mind. Mindfully, we arise, then we shall form a circle, then we will do the official puja offerings. Yeah, come.If you all need the space, maybe you can go around that. Yeah.Form a circle, yeah. Bigger circle, just from here continue. Then just form one circle, you know. Just join. Yeah, stand nearer. Then join here. Join my daughter here, yeah. All close it up. Jared is here, just nice, come. Adelaide? Come, all together, yeah.Come, Jared, join us. Never mind, it's locked already. You can pass around. There are Jared and Adeline coming. Okay, so. Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu, 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 Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Eh? Go back to your seat. Then, like I mentioned just now, eh, on the benefit of those who came in late, eh? This offering to the Triple Gem, eh, and the great beings of this temple is from our retreat common fund. So each and every one of us, we have participated, including all other Kayamita, because the Kayamita fund also donate towards the retreat common fund. So the purpose of the retreat common fund is to establish a field of merits that all participants, including Kayamita, can partake. And this offering is very significant because very rare you have condition to make such offering to such temple and altar. And it will be here for 9 days. We will maintain it, we will refurbish it, and do what we can. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then those who just came in, you need the retreat program. You can come forward to go collect it. Huh? It's in front here. Okay. The next one is to officially commence the retreat by helping you all to develop the understanding of all these puja offerings, and at the same time to officially commence the taking of refuge, including the precepts. When it comes to the precept, for those who are on 8 precept, you can chant the 8 precept. But tonight, since we are all having dinner, I think we chant the 5 precept first. Is there anyone who wants to take 8? Tomorrow you can take 8. Okay? Because tonight, Sri An also say, very likely, we don't know whether we will arrive in time or not. And our lunch may not be something enough for some of you all. So at night the dinner should be something that is significant. Then we have the dinner for all. So don't worry. Okay, turn to your retreat chanting book. First page. Request for three refuges and five precepts. So I will administer this. So regarding the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, we can do it again. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Then we'll get Sister Ing Bi to lead us in your request. Sister Ing Bi, you all recite after her.
Mayang mita.
Mayang mita.
Ti saranena saha.
Ti saranena saha.
Pancha silani yacama.
Pancha silani.
Dutiyampi,
Dutiyampi,
Mayang Mita,
Mayang Mita,
Ti Saranena Saha,
Ti Saranena Saha,
Pancha Silani Yacama,
Pancha Silani Yacama,
Tatiyampi,
Tatiyampi,
Mayang Mita,
Mayang Mita,
Ti Saranena Saha, Pancha silani yacama.
Pancha silani yacama.
Okay, I will lead you all in the taking of the three refuges. The three refuges are the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. This is what we call the triple gem. What are triple gems? Gem are gemstone, the most precious among the precious stone, that's why it's the gem. And it's only within the triple gem that you can find the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma, to free your mind, to liberate your mind. That's why we must establish affinity with the triple gem. And taking refuge with the triple gem is most important. Okay? Now you recite after me, the Vandana, means the homage. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Ti saranena gacchanaṃ natitaṃ.
Amamitta, together. Amamitta.
Okay, now I will administer the five precepts, the Panchasila. Together we shall take the five precepts. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang sakadhiyami Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Excuse me. These five precepts are very important. The first one is you undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to a living being. Then the second precept is you undertake the training rule to abstain or refrain from taking things which is not yours or given. Then the third precept is I undertake the training rules to refrain from sexual misconduct. Then the fourth precept is I undertake the training rule to refrain or abstain from telling lies or arising harmful speech. The last one is I undertake the training rules to refrain from consuming intoxicants like alcohol, liquor, whatever strong drinks and drugs. Which may lead to karmic downfall or heedless living. Then the importance of these five precepts, I will chant, you all listen. Imani pancasika padani silena sukantingyanti silena boga sampadan Silena nibunting yanti tasma silang visote. Wait, I translate and explain the meaning before you all respond. These are the five precepts. Sila or virtue is the source of happiness. Virtue or sila is the source of true spiritual wealth. Virtue or precept is the source of mental peacefulness. Therefore, let virtue or precept be kept and purified, because virtue is a purifying force. Then we chant together. Imani pancasika padani samadhiyami Imani pancasika padani samadhiyami Imani pancasika padani samadhiyami Then you all respond. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we can officially start the briefing for the retreat. Okay, before I do it, just one more thing. Those who need cushion, meditation cushion, you can get it from that room. Whatever that suit you, you can use it. Then book your seat. Then posture is up to you. The other thing is, those who have requested for your books, I have brought them, they are all at the back. You can collect later. But when we start the sharing, the Heart Sutta, maybe you must have your copy of the Heart Sutta. Okay? So now, turn to your retreat note. So, meditation retreat at Mahayana Triple Gem Temple, means Sampo Temple, Brinchang. Cameron Highland, starting today, 18 October, Wednesday, to 26 October, Thursday. 2 or 3. So this retreat is conducted by me. Yeah? Introduction. The meditation retreat Dhamma sharing is suitable for all participants who may be from different Buddhist tradition or background with varying meditation experiences. The emphasis here is on the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. So if you don't insist on the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, then you are wasting your time because you may not know what you are doing. In fact, this morning when I was taking some of the Kayamita for breakfast, I think one of them, I think is Ben Lim. He said last time he attended one retreat, I think after 6 days or 7 days, I forgot already. He doesn't know what he was supposed to do inside there. He was given a lot of instruction, do a lot of things, but he cannot understand what is going on. So to understand what is going on is to understand the Buddha's teaching. So the emphasis here is on understanding the Buddha's teaching and the awareness-based meditation as taught by the Buddha. Instead of focusing on method techniques of meditation, most people emphasize a method technique. They like the word vipassana, samatha, jhana, all those things. But you don't know what you are doing in the name of meditation because you don't know what is the essential Dhamma of the Buddha and why we develop the faith to cultivate this teaching. Because this teaching is very unique. Then why the Buddha keep on emphasizing on heedfulness? What is heedfulness? To be heedful is to follow Dhammapada verse 23. Ever mindful, constantly meditating. So the Buddha mentioned, he who is ever mindful, constantly meditating, and the steadfast one who stick on to these practices of cultivation of heedfulness, he will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. So this is the key understanding. That's why heedfulness is very important. And there are two components to heedfulness. One is ever mindful, constantly meditating. So how can you develop the ability to be ever mindful? You must at least train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. That's why awareness-based meditation is precisely to teach you to do that. Whereas all the method techniques are skillful means to anchor your mind, to train your mind to develop sati, but they don't know. It ends up becoming method techniques and the various skillful means that doesn't lead to sati most of the time. It ends up either teaching you how to focus, concentrate, or develop the jhana, the one-pointedness, and other things. Sometimes they even anapanasati become, you notice the feeling of the in and out breath. Then you focus, you concentrate, and you build up energy, all the things. So this is what happens when you don't have the understanding, okay? So hopefully, as the retreat continues, it will be clearer. Okay. This program was prepared to allow participants to settle down slowly into the retreat proper via a less stringent first session, which is what we are having now. First session, we will do more Dhamma sharing and to develop the understanding so that you can understand the teaching better before you go into the meditation seriously. Because once you understand, you will progress very fast. So don't be too eager and too haste to progress and become enlightened before you understand. If you do the practice or cultivation or the meditation without understanding, it will not benefit you because you are wasting your time. Especially those who don't have the understanding, they end up doing thought-based meditation. Thought-based meditation means you use your thought to meditate. When your thought is active, how can you be mindful? How can you be aware? And you have to understand what is mindfulness. Mindfulness is an awareness before the knowing, before the perception, before the aggregates of mind arise. Means that nature within just aware, like the baby, newborn baby, the pure perception, the pure awareness, where their brain are still very pure, not so conditioned. Nothing inside there. That's why they're sitting as they are, very cute, yeah, and very innocent. Yeah. But as you grew up, you develop all the conditioning, the belief system, views, opinion, then your fear, your phobia, your whatever conditioning from society, from your parents, from the tradition, the place you are, how you are being raised up. All this actually create the memory. And this memory are your accumulated experiences, good and bad, that will mold you, condition you, and build your character. So all this is what meditation is. When you can see all this with awareness, then you start to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. And is that the right way to live life? That's why the teaching will explain to you a lot of things. Okay, I read on. So the first session is less stringent, where more Dharma sharing and understanding will be emphasized. Then followed by a more stringent second session, which is 21st October onward, until the last day, 26th, where noble silence, heedfulness, and the actual meditative training will be emphasized. So noble silence is silent your mind. Don't allow it to even chatter inside there. Because this mind, the untrained mind, chatter a lot, think a lot. Then it also creates a lot of mental thinking, mental activity, mental states. All these are the aggregates of mind. That's why from contact, when consciousness arises, when you are not mindful, not aware, you don't know what is going on. But when the consciousness arises, together with it, the seven universals arise. Feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. Consciousness is like the receptacle. Your feeling, perception, and activity of mind, or your mind states, or your stirring and reaction of mind. These are all the content of consciousness that go inside that consciousness. That's why whether it's wholesome or unwholesome depends on your understanding of the Buddha Dharma, or basically his teaching, which is Dhamma. And Dhamma is truth. When you don't have the understanding of his teaching, you become deluded. Then you make mistakes. Then every thought you arise, the content of it become wrong thought, unwholesome thought. So this is the purpose of this meditative retreat, to train you to have all this understanding. Then we go to section B, the main purpose and intent. This one will help you, if you can understand, to become very different. To understand and realize the noble teachings of Lord Buddha, this is the first thing you have to understand and realize. Why is the teaching called noble teaching? You have to realize it via sincerely cultivating the much needed heedfulness. I already explained just now. The Pali word is apamada, as emphasized by the Buddha via the Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. These are the first three verses on apamada, on heedfulness. And his final advice, of apamadena sampadeta means before his parinibbana, he said, strive on with heedfulness. The meaning is very deep. Strive on with heedfulness means not until you have heedfulness, you don't go and strive on, because it will lead you astray and do the wrong thing. But when you are heedful, you must strive on, because he already assured you, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Dhammapada verse 21. Whereas if you are not able to train your mind to be heedful, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. And this is very clear. And Dhammapada verse 22 is a continuation. He said, the wise one, because they are wise, they will intend on heedfulness. And when they intend on heedfulness, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas. The Aryas are the enlightened beings, the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. So all these Aryas are noble ones, enlightened ones. Noble in all aspects of life. They are very noble in their understanding of life, understanding of the Buddha's teaching, truth. They are very noble in the way they conduct themselves, their speech, their action, their livelihood. They are very noble. And they are very noble in actually training themselves. They develop mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Then they develop right view, right understanding of life. That's why the whole embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path, starting from right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, the four right effort, right sati and samadhi. All these are the noble qualities of enlightened being. So if you meditate and you think you're enlightened, check. If it doesn't bring you back to the understanding of the Noble Eightfold Path and developing the qualities of those Noble Eightfold Path qualities, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That is something else. That type of enlightenment is not what the Buddha intends. What the Buddha intends is when you become enlightened, awakened, you become noble ones with noble quality. It's not just your experience of meditative transformation and you think you are enlightened. Yeah. So that one is important. Yeah. Next, number two, to train ourselves during the meditation session to develop a very stable daily mindfulness, meaning the silent mind with inner awareness, leading to heedfulness from the moment we commence our retreat. So this moment. Yeah? To diligently maintain noble silence of mind and speech during the retreat duration. After this, unless you are on duty or you need to communicate, try to maintain noble silence. Yeah? Speak softly or speak mindfully with awareness. Yeah? Then train your mind to be aware from within, from inside aware. So intent on developing awareness to stabilize it is very important. You can do it in whatever manner, but the main one I will give you the instruction later on. The four support that I have taught for awareness-based meditation can allow you to develop the stability of daily mindfulness, or what we call the awareness nature within. Yeah. But some people, they don't have the understanding, they don't know how to relax, they don't know how to maintain awareness, they don't know how to stabilize the awareness. Then they start to do other things without them knowing it. But it's okay, because some of you have the conditioning. You are more used to your own method, technique, or skillful means. It's okay. If you are familiar with whatever skillful means, no different. What the Buddha taught is very simple. He taught the four foundations of mindfulness. These are foundation to build up your mindfulness, or some call it the four arousing of mindfulness. How to arouse that mindfulness? How to develop the foundation of those mindfulness to stabilize it? So under Kaya Anupassana, the Buddha explained very simple, but people don't understand him. There are six categories of practices under Kaya Anupassana. What is the first category? What is the first category? Very good. Anapanasati means mindfulness of the in and out breath. Not to focus, not to concentrate, not to feel here, feel that. Forget about all these things. You are supposed to train your mind in sati. That's it. Breathing out, aware. Breathing in, aware. Just aware. The Buddha never ask you to not here, not there. Understand or not? Aware. Aware means what? Our second support. Understand or not? But the relaxation is to prevent you from entering concentration, developing samatha practices. That's why I say relax body and mind. Then maintain awareness. Then whatever mind state arises, relax into it. Maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Then the sati will arise. Anapanasati is the same. When you are mindful of the in and out breath, you don't try to know, you don't try to do anything. You just allow the awareness and the breathing to go as one. Then it will settle down. Then it will transform. Initially, long breath, you feel very good. You experience the jhanic factors and all those things. Never mind, go through it. Piti, sukhang. Then later on, collectedness of mind, ekagata. Never mind. But if you continue to meditate with anapanasati, it will become transformed into very subtle breathing, like normal breathing. Then if you continue to be aware, like you don't have any breathing, but you continue to be silent and stay there, don't try to do anything, then your mind will enter sati. When your mind enters sati, it's the same as what I taught you. Relax, maintain awareness, let it stabilize. Stabilize means let the awareness stabilize, means the mind enters sati. The skill is in training yourself to relax, deep relaxation. Relaxation has got many, many layers. Relax what? Body and mind. Means free of all tension, tightness, or stress. No more problem. At ease. The Mandarin word is 自在. Be at ease. Be natural. Relax. Maintain awareness. Finish. And meditation is just so simple. No need to do anything. Then once you are established in mindfulness, awareness, and heedfulness, the Dhamma will be understood naturally on its own. You will start to see and understand. Then all the words become clear to you. The essential Dhamma, the Buddha, the teaching all become clear to you. That's how it works. Not what you think. Okay? Then I read on. We are going to rush a bit. So, mindfulness leading to heedfulness is very important. So, a very stable daily mindfulness means the silent mind with inner awareness within, aware from within, then aware outside, leading to heedfulness from the moment we commence our retreat, then to diligently maintain noble silence and speech during the retreat duration. Then to cultivate sati sampajana. This is the next one under Kaya Anupassana. After you develop anapanasati, you have to come to this. Mindfulness of the four posture. Then that time, remind yourself, sitting aware. Aware means the awareness is aware of your sitting posture. then standing away, walking away, lying down away, then the intermediate action, like how you arise, how you move, how you bend, how you stretch, how you actually develop all the connecting activity between the four posture, develop awareness. Sampajana is clear comprehension, clearly comprehending what you are doing, so that you do not debate. There are four types of clear comprehension. So these four types of clear comprehension, we will discuss it in the Heart Sutta, is in the teaching. Yeah. So I just summarize to you. Huh? Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. Clear comprehension of domain of meditation. Then the third one is clear comprehension of suitability. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. Yeah. Okay, now we move on. Huh? So once you develop this mindfulness and clear comprehension, that is mentioned here, of sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability and non-delusion, as a sign of our respect to the Sampo temple we place, because we are very grateful that they allow us to have this opportunity again. It seems, according to Pachan Sopo, we are the only group this year and last year allowed to continue with our annual meditation. The rest that used to come also, somehow they decide not to open up, because maybe they know us well and they have faith in us. They also rejoice in what we do, and we also develop a lot of understanding and support towards Sampo temple. The affinity is very longly established. Every time we come, wherever there is condition to do wholesomeness, we will do. In fact, the two stupa in front also, most of it were donated by us. We started the project. Then when I was told by Teng Siong Sufu that they are embarking on this project, then I told Pamasri, no problem, we support. Then they really become very happy, and with our support and fund together with other donations, they are able to do it. Yeah. Then there are many other temple activity that we partake in. Yeah. Especially every year, the what they call, you saw in the Maikayamita, Pamasuri used to help you all to develop the merits. What is it, Pamasuri? Chan Qi or what? Lian Huang Bao Chan and San Qian Po Pusa. These are the ceremony and chanting that they will do. And that is to help humanity promote all the wholesomeness. Then we get to actually donate, support them. That's why the affinity become very close, like previous year. In fact, every year we come here and do retreat, we managed to raise quite a lot of fun, and we were on top of the food and all things, because the lodging and the water supply utility were all free. So we donated almost every year 10,000 ringgit per retreat. This year we have more fun, we will donate more. In Toh Sui An, we will donate about maybe 12,000. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So when you have this condition to do all this wholesomeness, I can tell you, you can be a billionaire, millionaire. If you don't have the affinity and the condition, you cannot partake in all this type of wholesomeness. Even our Kayamita fund, you can't. You need to have that parami. So this is for your own benefit. Okay, next one. Learn to be at ease, naturally relaxed and aware via heedfulness most of the time. Always move, speak and act naturally, but with inner awareness, means aware from the heart, aware, inner awareness. Whatever you do, aware. Blinking of your eye, aware. Then your hand stretching out to take things or put your things away. Answering nature's call, cleaning up, brushing your teeth all away. How you lie down into your bed, how you fall into the sleep, how you maintain awareness within, how you answer nature's call. That is sati sampajana. Then when you change over your clothing to your pajamas or whatever sleepwear, mindful. Everything you do aware, mindful. If you can continue with this training, this retreat, you become very different. You will be a transformed cultivator. Your sati, mindfulness, will stabilize. Then after that, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of understanding. Then everything will change. Then you realize your activity, your movement. How come now no need to be aware? The awareness and the activity move as one. Why? Because your mind has entered state. You have cultivated that state. You have stabilized it. And to stabilize it is very easy. Not only anapanasati, not only the four support. Walking, meditation, bowing, chanting, whatever that you develop the spiritual faculty can lead to the stability of the sati within. Because sati is one of the spiritual faculty. Faith, sadha, virya will bring forth the sati because the faith will drive you to practice. After knowing who the Buddha is, how unique he is, he is the wisest and most virtuous human being ever to be born. And his teaching can liberate living beings, bring about enlightenment in the here and now. Then what are you waiting for? Without this understanding, you cannot understand life. You cannot understand who are you, what are you. Then you come here to suffer for what? Maybe have some moment of joy, fun. Then after that, when death approaches, when the reality of the first noble truth, the reality of life and existence arise and you are confronted, can you cope? Can you still maintain that peace, the understanding, the joy? Can you live life? Unless you have this teaching, you can't. And there's a reason why the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha is very unique. It's not any other intellectual teaching, but it's something that is tremendously useful and important to mankind, to humanity, to all living beings who wants to have understanding of life, and through the understanding able to live life to the fullest. Okay, we move on. So this inner awareness, when you can have it throughout the day to stabilize your five spiritual faculty until they become balas, means very stable or unshakable. Then number four, with the stable daily mindfulness, see, all the emphasis is on mindfulness and awareness, nature within. So the stable daily mindfulness or inner awareness within, you must develop it. So with this stable daily mindfulness and inner awareness nature, use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. We are constant creative contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the four noble truths, leading to the perfection of all the noble eightfold path factor of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness and right samadhi, so that you are incapable of any evil whenever you are heedful. Then to maintain this heedfulness or apamada training throughout the day so that we can have the condition to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature to awaken, to realize the insight, knowledges, and wisdom needed to liberate our mind, leading to the realization of Nibbana or cessation of for my mind as taught by Lord Buddha. Then number 5, to diligently develop the understanding of the following essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. The 5 mental hindrance or Pancha Nivarana, 5 spiritual faculty or Pancha Indriya, the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, the 3 right views of Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama and Dhamma Niyama, then the dwelling or the Paticca Samuppada, then the 4 number 2, and its 3 turning, then the 4 foundation of mindfulness, the 7 factors of enlightenment or Satta Bhujanga, then Dana, Sila and Bhavana, and the 5 daily contemplation. These are all very important essential Dhamma of the Buddha, and they are the teaching that spin off from the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the 4 number 2. Then after that, number 6. To silence our mundane mind. See, the word is the mundane mind. What is the mundane mind? Your mundane mind is your thinking mind, which is most of the time heedless before you train it, because that mind thinks a lot. That's why very difficult to have the clarity of mind to be aware. Well, the moment thought arises, you are lost in thought. Then how can you be aware? Man can only do thing one thing at a time. Either you are aware within the moment, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied in what you are thinking, what you are worrying about, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your restlessness, your insecurity, your lack of peace, your unhappiness. All this is what the mundane mind is all about. So here, to silence our mundane mind, to realize the true mind, so that we are constantly aware within, is to stabilize the awareness nature. Otherwise, the thought will arise. You realize it starts to rain? Then the next one is, to silence our mundane mind, to realize the true mind, so that we are constantly aware within. To stabilize the silent meditative mind until the enlightenment factor of paucity. Paucity is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. That is your silent mind, no thought. That is your true mind. So paucity is your true mind. Then to establish a very good daily religious routine, for a cultivator to develop a very stable daily mindfulness when they revert to their normal day-to-day cultivation after the 9 days retreat. Eh? This one we will talk about it further at the last day, eh? Before we break off. Then books to bring along. I hope you have all these books. Heart Sutra, short note, if possible, version 2, eh? Second edition. Then chanting book. I hope you all have normal and retreat version. Then Bradfield's Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, which is the blue book. Eh? Then after that, you have the unique Dhamma Code, the purple book. Then a new book, which is Awareness and Consciousness. Then of course, our retreat program. Eh? Any questions so far? Eh? Any question? Can understand? No reply, no response. Now that also cannot understand. Oh, susah. Sadhu, huh? Yeah. You can understand, I rejoice. Okay, next page. This is your program proper. Huh? So as you can see, 7:30 to 8:10, reach my house. Then we leave for Cameron. We are ahead of time. Instead of 12:30, we arrive at 12 o'clock. Then we did all this briefing, introduction, fellowship, sharing of the Dhamma while traveling. Yeah? That one maybe this time we do less, eh? Because we didn't manage to have a break at Tapa rest and service area. Then also because this year is Slightly different because we are more equipped with a lot of what they call possibility or shortcoming that happened during the previous retreat. The previous retreat we got some people with COVID, but we still managed it well and it turned out to be very beautiful despite what happened. At that time cannot be avoided. The August last year, the pandemic not over yet. But we would like to thank Dr. Jahanta, Sri Andi, for enforcing all this. And we managed to actually, towards the end of the retreat, only came to know a few of them, they test themselves and they told us positive. Then we said, we isolate you in the room. At that time, we don't know. We didn't book hotel room. But now, if you're positive, don't worry. Hotel room 2 waiting for you down there. But you have to communicate through Zoom. Did they give us the Wi-Fi?
Yes, yes.
What is it? You can write down. Do you know the mic? So that can we turn up? Yeah. Okay. And now is 1:30 to 3, which we have done. Check into the temple and settle down. Can have bath, that one luxurious. For those who arrive early, you can walk around mindfully and familiarize yourself with the way place. And help in the setting up of the meditation hall, which you all did very well. Also do pay respect to all the great beings, the Rupa, image, and all those great beings that are worthy of respect, which we have done. I introduce to all the new Kayamitas too, so that they understand the significance of all these great beings that are within this temple. And then 3 to 4:15 is what we're supposed to have. Opening puja followed by a briefing, which I have done, and meditation instruction. Then the briefing will be very comprehensive, covering retreat objective, essence of Buddha's teaching. This one I will continue further. Instruction on how to develop the 5 spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. Then leading to Appamada or heedfulness to arise the wisdom needed to counter the 5 mental hindrance of mind to develop the meditation. Then meditation instruction to include a detailed explanation of what meditation is and how to develop the second turning Dhamma contemplation wisdom to enable one to meditate with understanding. This one most important, note. Cultivation to include the establishment of a proper daily religious routine leading to a sustained period of continuous heedfulness. This is a must to develop good progress. Means not only during this 9-day retreat, if you are back to your normal life, some of you may be retired, some of you may be working or whatever, you must have a religious routine. But of course, the religious routine cannot be like a retreat where you like renounce everything and just devote yourself 8 to 9 days of intense meditative training and retreat. But after you go back, the routine can be something simple, but at the same time very effective. So what I did was, in the early days, my teacher Achayantra actually, he suggested this religious retreat, a routine. But he never tell us what it was and how to do it. So what I developed is through what I do myself. I realized during that time, every morning, the moment I woke up, the first instant is maintain awareness, aware of my bodily posture. Then how I develop the movement, how the bladder tactile condition me to move. So that mindfulness, awareness is very important. How you arise on the bed, then how you stand, how you walk, like the satipatthana, exactly. That how you go to your washroom or your toilet. That how you answer nature's call. No need to describe too much. Huh? You how you do it, you know. Huh? But mindful, aware, answering nature's call or aware, then brushing. So you can maintain all this routine. Your mindfulness will build up. Then after that, pay respect to Tupajan. If you have time, meditate for 10-15 minutes, maintain awareness. Then continue your daily mindfulness, take your breakfast. Then you have a career, you have to work, you go. If you are retired, then easier. The routine is whatever you do in life. You can go and buy your daily necessity or whatever, or have a good meal or a good breakfast or a good lunch or meet up with friends, classmates or what, no problem. Or join Dharma activity like okay, meet up, we have Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class. Then in between, they listen to the recording. Our retreat later on will have a lot of short video which are very useful. So you all should help out. Helps Chinao, Sui and Suyan, they all. Yeah, to actually build up the title and what they call important, useful pointers. Yeah. Jinhao will guide you all. You only need to volunteer. Then when you do that, you learn a lot because you listen to all those short videos. Then it will help you to develop the understanding and all those things. Then with this training, you become very different. Yeah. So, all this understanding that you must develop. Okay, so I still have a bit of time. Maybe I will share with you why the Buddhist meditation. Okay, after that we are going to have our formal sitting. Everything okay? I got 15 minutes. Okay. So now maybe I will go through with you. Why the Buddhist teaching? Eh? The essence of the Buddhist teaching. So, what is the essence of the Buddha's teaching? Huh? What is it? Huh? What is it? Ah, yes. That one is the Dhammapada verse 183. Yeah? Dhammapada verse 183. Yeah. Avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. But the main key essence of his teaching that summarizes to us all of life. Both mundane and super mundane is the Four Noble Truths. Huh? So the Four Noble Truths is the essence. Huh? You see, the Buddha is so wise. After he realized enlightenment, after long period of cultivation, eons and eons and eons of cultivation, he came to realize this Four Noble Truths. And these are not ordinary truths. Because Noble Truth means when you understand this truth, it will make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why these truths are very unique. So this Four Noble Truths is how he summarized to us. Summary of life and existence. Both mundane and supramundane. So who in this universe can do that by just summarizing it into four noble truths? And all of life and existence, both mundane and supramundane, are inside that. That's why all his other teachings spring off from there. They actually, from the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, they arise. All the essential Dhamma that I mentioned, all the Buddha's teaching. So this is the uniqueness of his teaching. And when you understand this, you understand life. And when you understand life, you know how to live life. Can follow? Yeah? Understand this, you understand life. And when you understand life, you know how to live life. Means you can free your mind, liberate your mind, develop the enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is most important. If you don't understand this teaching, you come to this world, you will suffer. You will become miserable. So now we go into it. What is the first noble truth? First noble truth. First noble truth of dukkha. And what is this first noble truth? Dukkha is a Pali word. They explain it as unsatisfactoriness, or sometimes they use the extreme word suffering, misery. All of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness, unsatisfactoriness. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your craving are not satisfied. All this will lead to the mind that has this, what the Buddha called dukkha. So dukkha means unsatisfactoriness, or sometimes they translate as suffering. So this is actually to explain to you the realities of life and existence. Means, within life, the Buddha said, these realities of life and existence, there are eight. The eight realities of life and existence. So when you live life long enough, you have to confront them. And when you confront them without understanding, you will suffer. You will become afflicted, miserable. That's why you look at the world. The Buddha called this prevalence of suffering. You know the meaning of this word, isn't it? Prevalence. Means suffering is very common everywhere. Nowadays, not only adults, even young children, they also have dukkha. So prevalence of suffering means this is the mundane aspect of life, the eight realities. Whatever you experience and go through in life is not apart from this eight reality. And what are they? The first four is what? Birth, old age, sickness and death. Okay? That one, very easy to understand, isn't it? When you confront birth, yeah, at your age, old age sickness also very common. And you have seen how death can create a lot of suffering, misery. So death of a breadwinner, death of a loved one, all this can lead to suffering, misery. Then the fear of having terminal disease, dreadful disease. Even nowadays, heart attack very common. HIV, even diabetic, silent killer. Then you also have cancer, major killer. That COVID-19 we just went through. So birth, old age, sickness, and death. These are reality. When you confront without the understanding of this teaching, you cannot take it. You will be afflicted. Especially getting old as you age. You become more and more dependent on a lot of other things to sustain your life. First is you visit the doctor and the hospital more. Then you have to maybe depend more on medication, both Western, maybe traditional, TCM. So birth, always sickness, very easy to understand now at our age. Death also very easy to understand. And these are reality that cover a major part of humanity. Then what is the next one? What is the next one? The reality. Separation from your loved one and prized possession. Things that you hold on to dearly. They will lead to suffering. Separation can come in many ways and not necessarily death. Relationship failure also lead to separation. Divorce, then misunderstanding between children and parents, between siblings, between even friends, neighbors, and other things. Then separation can also be related to your wealth, your possession. When you make a mistake in life, when there is crisis, economic crisis, or major crisis happening in the world, you can just be affected. Your business, everything that you think you own, suddenly gone. Then, can you take it? How are you going to respond to all this? So, separation is a very severe reality that humanity need to confront and experience and go through. And without this Dhamma understanding, you cannot cope. Then the next one is what? When you are with people whom you don't like, okay? Who are they? If you are working career people, you have bosses and maybe those above you, you call what? Your superior, okay? They actually harass you and put fear into you. They go by management, by fear and harassment to force you to deliver. Where you're scared of losing your job. That's why a lot of people in the working career, they confront with a lot of situation that leads to fear, worry, anxiety until they break down. Until they go into depression, some become like cuckoo. Then they do a lot of stupid things. Some they commit suicide and other things. Then the seventh one is when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met. And these are very common. So all this lead to suffering. Then finally, the Buddha said, in short, it is because of our self-delusion, sakkayadhiti, that condition us to grasp and cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. That final summary is the most important. Because everything in life, you try to relate, it will fall into one of these eight realities. Can never run. You can name me anything. I will explain to you why it falls into all this reality. Maybe under modern day term, birth is normally associated with what? New moon, becoming the father, having grandchildren, or something. So, like joyful occasion, understand? But what happens if there is complication? Nowadays, I got a niece who is a doctor in a houseman. He is in the baby ward. He said, He called me 二伯泥巴。He said 泥巴。Nowadays, a lot of birth are not natural. Huh? I said, why? My mother gave birth to 9 all natural. He said, now all need cesarean. Don't know how, don't know why. The mother are so different, so weak. They don't have the strength to actually push and deliver. They are not as tough as our parents at that time. So because of that,they actually have a lot of complications. That's why they pay a lot of money to have good gynae and all those things. Yeah. So these are the realities of birth. Then when you have complications, who worry? The parent worry. Yeah. The in-law also worry. The grandparent also worry. The spouse also worry. Then people who are related to you also affected. That's why this is the first noble truth reality, prevalence of suffering.Then, when it comes to old age, we associate with the word dementia, understand? Your senses are failing you. Yeah. Like now, Chi Wei, he told me just now, Brett, I need to sit in front. This is my favorite seat. Why? His hearing is not so good. Yeah? Then the eyesight not so good. This is normal. Like the Buddha said, this body of ours is of the nature.To grow old, get sick and die, because it goes the way of nature. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's not you. It's only element. That's why he teaches how to reflect that five daily contemplation to understand the Four Noble Truths and to develop the understanding to counter the Four Noble Truths. So after that separation, disease.Disease, now you talk about health problem. And then people understand. Oh, health problem. A lot of people have health problem. This morning also, Bing Lim told me he had a bypass many years ago, 8 years ago. Then luckily, he has that confidence, the faith. I think he received Ti Zhang Wang Fu Sa or whatever that gave him the faith and all those things.That's why he managed to go through, survive, and until now still very good. But there are a few that he saw, not easy. They actually suffer. So all these are realities of life and existence. Okay? Then when it comes to separation, I already explained career and all those things, your economic condition, all those things. Then when you are with people whom you don't like,Not only your bosses, I tell you. For the married lady, your mother-in-law, not easy to handle. Then your relationship with all those, even the kids when they go to school. Sometimes the school has what they call bullies. So sometimes the maid or the nanny that look after the kid may not be friendly. They torture them.They ill-treat them. And a lot of these things are happening. So, when you are with people who you don't like in certain type of religion and race, they have a lot of incest and all those things. You understand? No? They live under intense fear. These are the people whom you don't like. You fear, you have phobia. Like child rape. Or certain phobia that you develop when you go through life. So these are the modern terminology that you actually more familiar with. But they are all related to this eight reality. Okay? So the Buddha said there is this eight reality within life. The first noble truth of dukkha.Prevalence of suffering. If you don't have the understanding of this teaching, you will suffer. Okay? Then the second noble truth is what? Second noble truth. The cause of the arising of dukkha. Understand now? Of dukkha. And what is the cause?Yeah? Like the final summary, what is the cause? Sakkha ditthi. That condition Sakaya Ditti means Sakaya Ditti, sorry. Oh, double K, yeah. Sakaya Ditti, yeah? Or self-illusion. That condition? Craving? That condition? Craving? Grasping? Clinging? Clinging and attachment. So because of this Sakaya Ditti or self-delusion, you believe you are real, you exist. The five degrees of form and mind is you. So what happens if you attach to your physical body? You will worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. You think it's you. And how many of you can really honestly tell yourself this is not you? Huh? When you fall sick, get old, confront the first noble truth reality, the first form. Maybe the second, third and fourth. Can you really cope? Unless you have that Dhamma, the understanding, the sati, the mindfulness, to see all this that the Buddha has taught, that this self that you believe exists, this entity that you call yourself by a certain name, like this one, you call me Brother Teo, and you have your identity. Is this me? I already told you. Is this me? Don't just say because you are Buddhist, no, Brother Teo, not you. If it's not me, then what is this? This is the vehicle and tool that I come to this universe, understand? Karmically conditioned out from my karmic nature to do this work, to live life, to understand life. I have that Dhamma, I know how to come, I understand life, I know how to live life. I can continue with this work. You understand? But this one is not me. Why? Because it's impermanent. It goes the way of nature. I got no control of it. But this one, because it's impermanent, if I attach, cling, deludedly grasp and believe it's me, I suffer. Can't you see this? You can only see this if you silence your mind, develop the inner awareness to be aware. Then, without thought, who are you? Find out the entity. Then you will realize the awareness nature, which is the deathless element. That one never dies, eternal. The form and mind can separate and die, you call die. But that nature never dies. Where that one is continuously evolving. So this one, the form and mind, is just one segment of my existence that arise within this universe. And we have taken birth for aeons and aeons and aeons of life. Which one is you? Every birth you take, aeons and aeons, maybe billions and billions and billions of existence. Which one is you? None of them is you. They are all karmically conditioned. And you develop the karmic nature. Then the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So coming back to this, if I know this noble truth of dukkha, then if I know there is a cause behind, then I can manage my life already. True enough. I know this are reality. Not only I have to confront, every living being has to confront birth, old age, sickness and death. Do you understand? So you got two choices. Be like normal, heedless, deluded living being. Attach, grasp, and cling because of sakyadity, then suffer, become miserable. Understand? The other way is understand this teaching, develop the inner awareness, the sati, the mindfulness, to awaken to the unreality of this form and mind. To see clearly, who are you, what are you, and how this five degree of form and mind function as a human being. This one is subject to karma, related to your karmic nature, but it's not you. Because this one make of element, the physical body. How can it be you? True or not? Element goes the way of nature. That's why evil, after birth, evil develop, aging, sickness and death. This one is not a permanent unchanging entity. Since birth until now, are you the same entity? No more. Then which aspect of that form and mind is you? The old brother Teo or the young brother Teo? Which one? None. It's like every moment, every instant is evolving, changing. Your cells, everything, your breath, your consciousness, all these are ever changing. Then the other aspect of the understanding is, the Buddha said the five aggregate, that is a physical form, first aspect, as a human being. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside, which we call mind. And this mind, like the Buddha explained, is capable of four things. That's why he summarized the mind into these four aggregate of mind. He said, to understand the four aggregate of mind, very simple. Ask yourself, what can your mind do? Huh? Your mind can? Feel! Hot and cold, pleasant, unpleasant, you can feel. So there's an aggregate of feeling. So it's feeling you. When you feel miserable, is that you? Then after that, you recover, you become happy. Did you die? You didn't die. So how can feeling be you? So if form is not you, feeling is not you, then every moment you perceive something, then next moment you perceive another thing, perception come and go and you didn't die. So how can the aggregates of mind, feeling and perception be you? Then your thought activity, your mind state. Sometimes you feel peaceful, sometimes you feel restless, sometimes you feel all the joy, the happiness, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the phobia. All these mind states, they come and they go, they arise and they pass away. Did you die? You didn't die, means Sankara can never be you. Understand? So 4:15 is up. My wife, very good timekeeper. But now I take away a bit of the meditation time. Maybe another 15 minutes I should finish. So what happened is, when you understand all this, then the last one is consciousness. You can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. But consciousness come and go. Did you die? Did you die? You didn't die then. If you didn't die, how can it be you? That's why you must be deluded to believe they are you. If the five aggregate of form and mind is not you, then who are you? What are you? Why did they arise in you? This is your meditative question, inquiry. This is what you have to do, silence your mind and realize the Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond mind, that the Buddha taught us. We chant the salutation to the Dhamma. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. What is the meaning? Well expounded is the Buddha. The Dhamma by the Buddha. And what is this Dhamma? This Dhamma is sanditiko. Can be realized in the here and the now. And this Dhamma is akaliko. Timeless. Beyond thought. Beyond time. So how can you use thought to meditate, to hope to realize a state of Dhamma that the Buddha teach that is beyond thought, beyond time? The instrument you use is wrong. Then this Dhamma, again, the Buddha said, not only sandhitiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, you are invited to investigate, and it's time of the investigation, where is the truth. Then not only that, this Dhamma is opanayiko, opanayiko, means leading inward into your nature, your heart, your mind, your nature through the gateway. Then, pachetang veditapo vinohiti, means this wisdom and Dhamma can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. That's why you need sati, mindfulness, to be aware, stable, to see all this. Then you start to realize what the Buddha meant by this body and mind is not me. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. It come and it go. That's why it's impermanent. If you attach and cling and want things your way, which is not nature's way, governed by the nature's law that governs life and existence, the Panchaniyama, then you suffer. And because it's impermanent, that's why there is no such thing as a permanent, unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I, this is self. That's why it's anatta, non-self. And because of that, everything that arises, they follow nature's law, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, no reality, empty nature of existence. This is how you awaken and realize, then not to be deluded by this cause of suffering. Because you cling to that ego, the personality, the egoic mind, self-delusion, deludedly cling onto this. That's why it conditions you to crave, to grasp, to cling, to attach your loved one, your possession, your body, your house, your property, your wealth, your friend, your parent. All this establish sakkayadity relationship. But don't get the Buddha wrong. The Buddha said, all this exists within the conditioned world. Understand? There is such thing as parent, brother, sister, human being. And all these are subject to karma, law of karma. And within the existential world, relationship exists. That's why he said the five heavy karma, matricide, recognizes relationship. But in the unconditioned world of unconditioned Dhamma, when you realize the third noble truth, cessation of form and mind, even in the Heart Sutta, it stated clearly, in true emptiness, all this don't exist. Understand? So our purpose is to understand his teaching that this five aggregate of form and mind, even though it's not you, but it's related to your karmic nature, you understand? You cannot simply do things. You have to follow the Dhamma way. Means, noble eightfold path. If you kill and harm, you cannot say, hey, non-self lah, not me lah, not my parent lah, not my... Where got such thing? Law of karma recognizes relationship. This is the conditioned Dhamma, understand? That's why you have to understand this and live life in accordance. That's why you must take care of karma. The first right view. How to take care of karma? Advice of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 183. Avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And this is what understanding is. Not to be deludedly conditioned by the words, the Dhamma words, the Dhamma knowledge. And you contradict yourself without understanding. One side you say anicchang dukkang anatta. The other side you say me, I. Then you say, oh, non-self, I shouldn't grasp, I shouldn't cling, I shouldn't have craving, I shouldn't have attachment. But can you have the understanding to live life? Without the awareness nature to see clearly all this, to awaken to the universal characteristic, you can never understand. Dhamma knowledge can never free you. Can follow. Okay? So sati is very important. Mindfulness. Stabilize it to see all this clearly based on what I have shared and explained to you. So the third noble truth, the Buddha said, when you know what dukkha is and the cause of its arising, then you know how to manage your life better. Understand? If you know that this is the cause of suffering, then what did the Buddha teach you? The five daily contemplation, what are they? No, the five daily contemplation. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Means to tell you that the physical body don't belong to you, understand or not? It belongs to nature, it goes the way of nature. So when your body is sick, do not cling, do not attach and grasp, and do not allow your mind to be sick together. Understand? Then in life you say, if this body is not me, I sick, no need to do anything. What is your understanding? You have to develop the understanding. What happens when you are sick? Do what you have to do, lah. Understand? Now you got two choices: complain, react, and become miserable. There is one choice. What is complain? Attach. Understand? Now, what is miserable? Suffering. What is reaction? Not able to accept the reality that this is non-self, not you. Understand? Now? So if you don't want to learn this teaching, don't want to develop the awareness to understand, then what happens? You will suffer, understand? Not? That's why I say you got two choices. But if you learn this teaching, then you realize, why did the Buddha say, this body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die? The key answer is, it goes the way of nature. Only element, no knowing. How can it be you? Understand or not? The form continues to age, decay, and one day die. So see, understand. Physically, it can never be me. Then don't worry, don't attack. But because you don't meditate, you worry when you die, you don't know what happened to this fellow. Understand or not? They will tell you, you go to hell. You don't believe in their religion, you go to eternal hell. You believe in their religion, they promise you eternal heaven. But after you die, you don't know what happened to you. So, what are you doing? So, through delusion, through sakkayadity, you become like tempted to believe. You think by believing something, you can have the answer, you can understand life, you can liberate your mind. When you meditate with the awareness, you know nothing dies. The consciousness and this one that is trapped inside can come out and you never die. And when this one comes out, it's separate, form and mind separate, the human being within the conditioned world say you die. Actually, you didn't die. That random of consciousness still come out. But rebirth consciousness already gone. If you don't meditate, you cannot understand. But if you have the awareness nature, you will not die the normal way. The awareness nature will be there. That's why when I was 8 or 9 years old, very young, my consciousness came out. Then I saw how the craving for dissipate from my body, how the consciousness come back into one and detach and float out of my body. I was fully aware. No fear, nothing. But I was very tired when I played until no more energy. Then the craving falls also no more. Then this one came out. Actually, I died. Because after that, I cannot go in. So I saw my brother come in, say all those things to us. Then I call him. He cannot hear me. I was not in my physical body, but I can have the consciousness that is fully aware and with the senses there. Then I knew something wrong. Then I saw my body down there. Then I tried to go in. I just zoom in. I cannot take control of my body. It's not my body. But because I'm a bodhisattva from the past, that's why I know how to get in. Suddenly, I just know what to do. I was still very young. I don't even know the Dhamma. I just forced it. Pop, I went in. Then the first thing I want to know is check with my brother. Did he went in and say all those things? Means I'm not hallucinating or dreaming or what? He said, yeah, you were sleeping like a log. How did you know? That's why I say, nothing done. You have awareness, deep mind, you can see the whole process of your consciousness separate. Then you can continue. A lot of things you can understand. Then you have realized the unconditioned, the cessation of form and mind, you can cease. Then you have your bodhisattva vow. You will have the causes and conditions to come back again, to take rebirth, and continue your training. Understand? So all these are understanding. So the third noble truth is, oh sorry, this one I haven't finished. Eh? So the first three is to counter the unreality, yeah, of this form. Understand now? Then the next one is what? Eh? Next one is what? All this that I think I own and I possess, my loved one, my prized possession, they were separate from me one day. How? When your breath stopped, you no longer own anything. Understand? That's why they were separate. Sometimes before your breath stopped, it also disappeared and separate. Why? Crisis. Or stolen. Or damaged through maybe calamity. Or nature's disaster. Or economic crisis. It's gone. Understand? So they don't really belong to you. That's why they say, 来也空,去也空, 那么施主何必苦苦为空流泪? Those who don't know Mandarin, when you come to this world, you are born into this world, you bring along anything or not? Huh? You bring along anything or not? Huh? You cry, but you don't bring along anything. And when you leave this world with all your wealth, possession, beautiful wives and all those things, can you bring them along? You can't, either. You come empty, you go empty. Then what you do in between? You cry, grieve, and suffer over what? Emptiness. Understand? Empty nature of existence. Then like Sui An every time used to joke, when you die, your body is in heaven. You believe in that religion. But your money is still on earth, no, in the bank. No. 人在天堂,钱在银行. So is that the way to understand life? To spend your money? Or they say there are two ways to spend your money. You know? One way is when you are alive, healthy, can move around, can really live life. You didn't spend, no. But when you are sick, old, bedridden, you also need to spend your money. Well, that was spent very fast, oh. When you work that time, career, 1 year maybe, good job also, 100,000, 200,000. That one, 1 day, 2 days, sometimes emergency, what, 10 days, 100,000 gone already. Then like the Singapore daughter realized in the Singapore ICU, and for 1 month, I think the mother, almost 1 million sing, the bill came up. So there are two ways to spend. Sang ngao ngao yong or fan tai ni yong. You understand what? When you are lying down in the hospital, you also use a lot of money. Understand? So either way, you use your money. So when you understand this teaching, you know how to live life, you know how to manage life. That's why you have condition to make offering, donation, or what. Do these are the, what they call merits, that will accrue to your karmic nature, understand? It doesn't mean that you cannot accrue anything. You can. That's why the Buddha said you are born of your karma, add to your karma conditions, and you are what you are because of your karma. And that is the fifth daily contemplation, you understand? No? And this five daily contemplation is to break the four noble truth, first noble truth reality. The eighth reality, this five daily contemplation give you the answer. So when you know you are born of your karma, heir to your karma conditions, for you are what you are because of your karma, you must take care of karma. That's why I cannot simply break precept, live life deludedly. Then you start to understand why the Buddha teach the three evil roots that make you evil, greed, hatred, and delusion. When you have them, they are the root of all evil. They make you evil. That's why it leads to karmic downfall. Your life becomes miserable. So now you want to understand why is your life like that? You ask yourself. The answer is in the fifth daily contemplation. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditions, and you are what you are because of karma. So you cannot blame anybody else except your karma for what happened to you. Why some people good life, beautiful life, always like very lucky, well protected, guided, things go their way. Why some people full of misery, like non-stop suffering, misery. All this come from the teaching, the understanding of this teaching. So this five daily contemplation is related. So the Buddha said, third noble truth, suffering need not be. Suffering need not be. Means enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Means it's possible to realize enlightenment in the here and the now. And this is what Nibbana is. This one is to realize the unconditioned. The unconditioned can only arise if you have developed the sati, the mindfulness, the awareness. To insight into phenomena, to see things as they are, to awaken, to develop the Dhamma wisdom. When you have this wisdom, your mundane mind loses its power to grasp, cling, and hold. That's why cessation of form and mind happen. Initially, it can be a glimpse. Later, longer duration. And this is most important, because the moment this happens, enlightenment in the here and the now, the sainthood way, trigger. Then, first stage of sainthood, maximum 7 life. Second stage, non-returner. Once returner, you only come back to the sanctuary one more time. Then, anagami, third stage of sainthood, non-returner, you take birth in the pure heaven. Then, arahant, segmented life, birth and death, no more, finish. Then the Buddha never stopped there. He don't tell you that this is possible, then don't teach you how. Understand? That's why the fourth noble truth, he teach you how. He said there is a path that leads to the end of suffering, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the topic. Noble Eightfold Path and its three turning. Later on, we will go into all this. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Why cultivate this? So that you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor and so on. So that you are very noble in all aspects of life and existence. Otherwise, you cannot become enlightened. Cessation of form and mind cannot arise. He said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. The Satipatthana Sutta also says, under Dhamma Nupassana, the last category of cultivation is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, which include the Fourth Noble Truth, Noble Eightfold Path. Okay? So this is what you need to know. Why the Dhamma is so beautiful, so important, and not to be heedless anymore. Okay? Understand? Sadhu. Okay, so now you can meditate. You left it 15 minutes. Okay, you meditate. 15 minutes. Okay. 15 minutes. Okay, how to meditate? The four support, remember. Relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize it. Then after that, the last one, no need to know, trust. The weather is a bit cold now. You need to go back and get your warm clothing. You better go. Because as it gets later, colder still. Because just now, a lot of things happen up there. That's why this rain is, because you don't need to know. Because when I share all these things, a lot of things happen up there. So this one is maybe for you to have the understanding. You go out and see. It's like the mist, all those things, the xianjing and all those things. So the weather will be like that. So for today, we all should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I let you all meditate first, otherwise 15 minutes or so, no more. Okay, be off the light. Then you just do whatever you understand. For those who have been with me, you can do your sitting or lying down meditation, up to you. The four support is very easy. Relax body and mind. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know anything. Okay? So I will set that up. somebody on the line. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed and built up. These are the mind state that you need throughout the retreat to stabilize your daily mindfulness and also awareness nature when you are doing the formal meditation. Then later on, when we go into the more stringent session where you will have more time for meditation, you should actually make full use of it to stabilize the awareness nature within. Try to do the formal meditation more, then do the walking, bowing. Initially, you cannot sit, you can bow, you can walk. Then you can also try the lying down. Very simple. Don't go back to your old habit. But if you are familiar with anapanasati or rising, falling, or any skillful means, you can develop the sati based on your new understanding. When the sati comes, breathe in, breathe out naturally, or whatever you are aware of, be natural, let it just be aware. Then let the awareness stabilize. It's the same. Finally, you come back to the four support, especially the first three. The first three is enough for sainthood way. Of course, you have the affinity with the bodhisattva way. The fourth support, trust will just arise by itself too, naturally. Many kayamita has the ability already. Okay, so now we come back to that program. 5 to 5:30, supposed to be question and answer, followed by review of Heart Sutta. We can start our Heart Sutta after this. Any questions so far regarding what I have shared? The Four Noble Truths, and also the essential Dhamma and the briefing. You have, you can ask. Then regarding meditation, you're not sure what to do or you cannot do, you let me know. Then I will guide you. Anybody? Make full use of this Q&A session to ask questions and to develop the understanding. Anybody? Nobody? Either everything understood or none has been understood. Jiwe, any question? Yeah, use the mic. Yeah.
A bit drowsy.
Oh, okay. No problem. Can you just relax and maintain awareness of that drowsiness? Be with it. Don't develop aversion towards it. That sleepiness is a sloth and torpor. Understand? Or? So you just accept it. When you accept it, what happens? There is no like or dislike. There is no aversion towards it. It means you are not trying to do it away. Because the wrong understanding of most meditators is when you have the mental hindrance, means you are not meditating. The hindrance is there. Then you want to go to the other extreme of the reality. Anasana. You want to develop the clarity of mind, the virya, the peace, the awareness. But you can't. So when you force yourself to resist that state which happened, like what the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Understand? Then why do you want to fight it, want to resist it? When you fight and resist, you create the opposite duality. Understand? You don't want it, means aversion. And that one is sensual desire and ill will, the opposite path, instead of clinging to the good state of mind now is drowsiness, sloth and torpor. You don't like it. That dislike is an aversion. So sensual desire and ill will or aversion is a mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Do you understand? Don't do that. Next time, welcome every mind state that comes. So the instruction is, whatever mind state arise, relax into it. Try it. You will go through a shift of consciousness and become very beautiful. Sometimes it can be very drowsy, very sleepy. I remember in 1988-89, I went through it. For no reason that mind becomes so sleepy, so drowsy. Then I suddenly realized that I don't have to do anything. I accepted it. Then I stay with it. Well, I have developed mindfulness. I stay with it. And to my greater surprise, what happened is suddenly my awareness and the drowsiness become one. Then there is a sudden shift in consciousness, like it flashes through. That mental hindrance gone, completely gone. Then inside there is like full of virya, full of light awareness. Then the mind become bright, aware. Then I realize, that's it. And the reason is, because I don't do anything, I don't create mental hindrance. When there is no mental hindrance, nothing is there to hinder my mind from entering the meditative state. So what happened? Because I relax and maintain awareness, sati take over, mindfulness take over. That's why that one trigger of a shift. Oh, suddenly, the whole thing gone. Pain also say, sudden shift. Flash through, and the whole thing gone. You must be with it. No aversion, nothing, except the real. So later on, when your body is sick, your mind will never get sick. But you know, this is dependent originating, condition arising, phenomena. And your mind, because of the conditioning, belief system, and all the views, opinion, it has this like and dislike already established for very long. So this habitual tendency create mental hindrance without you knowing it. That's why when the mental hindrance is there, sati cannot come in. Because they are mental hindrance. Hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. So forget about it. Miss, laugh at it, smile, stay with it, relax into it, and allow the sati to be with it. Try it. You will be able to do that. If you don't have aversion, that's why I say whatever mind state arise, don't fight, don't react, don't do anything. Accept it. Be at peace with it. Then maintain awareness. Sati will take over. I have tried very severe sloth and torpor, drowsiness, sleepiness, in the early days. Then later on, there was one incident. I was on 8 precept, the pain. I tried, went through. So no problem. That's why I came to know the mental hindrance is your friend. You remember under the four foundation of mindfulness, Dhammanupassana, what is the first category of cultivation? Mindfulness of? The five mental hindrance. Understand? Huh? And what did the Buddha say under the four foundation of mindfulness? The first category of cultivation. Mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. He said when there is this mental hindrance of sensual desire or ill will, you must be aware. Understand? Huh? Mindful. Mindful is to tell you that it has a reason. Means the unarisen mental hindrance has a reason. Understand? That's why it's a mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. So what must you do? Knowing that it's a mental hindrance. Just now I advise you, what must you do? Accept it, understand? Be with it. Then when you accept it and be with it, means you are cultivating sati, mindfulness, awareness, based meditation. Means you relax into it, maintain awareness, stay with it. Then what happened? No more mental hindrance. Sati take over. Understand? So whatever mental hindrance behind, it will disappear. That's why in the sutta is mentioned, if you continue to develop mindfulness, means you aware but don't click, don't grasp, don't react, don't resist, accept it. Like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. Why mental hindrance are there? Because you have not stabilized your spiritual faculty. That's why it arises. Understand? Saddha, sometimes you may have, okay, the faith, because you have been cultivating the Dhamma very long. But virya, not strong enough to drive you to cultivate, to drive you to develop sati. So when virya is not strong enough, sloth and torpor come in. Because when you have virya, sloth and torpor cannot come in. So the spiritual faculty of virya is not strong enough to counter it. That's why it happened. That's why the Buddha said there are causes and conditions. So you accept that reality. When you accept, you are at peace. Then the hindrance is gone. You don't have to push it away. You don't have to fight it. Don't have to resist it, understand? Be with it, stay with it, silent. Then what happened? It ceased to be. And then, according to that Satipatthana, the Buddha said, when you are mindful and aware of the mental hindrance, you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance ceased to be. How? By not doing anything, understand? By not allowing the mental hindrance to arise through your delusion. But what did the other type of vipassana teach you? Not sleepiness, sleepiness, sleepiness. You go and verbalize. You think that one can break free? I don't think so. Sometimes they ask you go and wash your face. And come back and sit again. Then develop the virya. This is not the answer, because when you meditate without understanding, that's what happened. And because everybody teach like that, they dare not deviate. So everybody try to copy what has been taught, what has been popularly accepted. Otherwise they say something that nobody heard before, nobody will believe you. That's why initially when I teach, I cannot say all this. I say all this all around. But now, I dare to say, because people have understanding and faith ready, then you are willing to give it a try. So give it a try, Chiwei, it will help you. So any other question? Alicia, yes. 可以，这我有很多时间了，这样。Okay. Pass the mic to Alicia. Oh no, the announcement on here. Okay, dinner at 6 o'clock. Anybody else? Got any question? You can ask. What about? Yes, Bing Lim. Yeah, a lot of the thing that you don't understand. Yeah, don't worry. No, for the recording, Bing Lim. Use the mic. Where's the other set? I saw Papa Sui brought the other set. For Q&A one, set it up also at the back, so that no need to pass the mic around so often. You continue.
I just want to mention that giving the Dhamma sharing and just now you're answering, You're also answering my
your question. You will come to know many Kayavita used to tell me. He said, brother, your retreat, your sharing, your way, you answer questions. It's very good. It's like a lot of the questions that they have, they dare not ask, but has been answered. Understand? Not?
Because a lot of the rising of just now, so of course when I do, of course this kind of like deviation, you know, you want to relax, but then you kind of like unable to. There's kind of
because you get distracted,
thing, you know that. But then,
you get distracted because of your old way. You have been taught to note this, to like fight and to reject all the bad meditation, understand? You only want good meditation. But good and bad are both within the existential world's duality. They are both actually sensual desire and ill will. It's a pair.
But now I know exactly what to do.
Yeah,
just let,
because
let it be.
Whether it is sensual desire or craving or aversion or sleepiness or restlessness of mind means the mind cannot settle down, or doubt. These are mental hindrances, and they arise because your spiritual faculty is not stable. And the main spiritual faculty that is not stable is sati. Do you know why? When sati is there, you cannot have thought, isn't it? True or not? No thought means what? No duality, isn't it? Duality comes from what? The thought that create duality. You remember? From that nature, which is emptiness, all Dhamma arise. Right and wrong, good and bad. All the duality, they arise. That's why the Buddha said, our mind, the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise, the mind-right things arise. In Mahayana Mandarin, they say, one wu, understand? The mind-right things arise. And all these are Dhamma, duality within the conditioned world. They exist. But you need to have the understanding of both the unconditioned and the conditioned in order to break free, to develop the understanding. Okay? Very good. Thank you for the sharing.